This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Now, before we talk about the Kevin Warsh confirmation hearing, which was very interesting yesterday, of course, he's trailed to be the next chair of the US Fed. I wanted to get the latest from the markets from you, particularly in the light of the ceasefire extension that we've seen between the United States and Iran. The sort of game of cat and mouse at the moment, really, isn't it? It looks as if we are going to get negotiation talks at some point in the next 2 or 3 days, according to what I've just seen from Donald Trump.
Yes, Johnny, it has certainly been a back and forth headline, and the fog of war is a very accurate depiction, I think, of what's been going on. This morning, we are getting updates in regards to whether or not Iran and the U.S. are going to meet. This has been the ongoing latest drama, I should say, is whether or not they're going to speak, whether or not Iran will meet again at the table, the second round of negotiations. And part of the reason markets had been a little bit worried recently had been that Iran kind of denounced the idea of resuming negotiations, unwilling to do so. But that being said, where the markets have now since kind of moved higher, been more optimistic, is that it seems like despite Iran not really giving a concrete yes to negotiations, the Trump administration, or Trump specifically, seems to still be willing to extend ceasefires in the meantime. Could this possibly be Iran sensing that there's not that much seriousness on the matter from the White House in regards to actual military action? Possibly, but I don't know how much they want to test that in regards to the White House, because it's very hard to predict. And so the markets are kind of in this constant fray of back and forth. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Are negotiations, looking promising, et cetera? And so we continue to watch that headline. Again, the latest is that the White House has extended the Iran ceasefire by 3 to 5 days. But Iran has also not yet decided on whether or not to hold discussions on Friday. That's from their media. So we'll continue to monitor that situation.
And because of this relatively stable situation at the moment, I say relatively, is oil more steady at the moment in terms of its price and the lack of turbulence?
Steady, I think, is a fair word. Just depends on who you ask, because in some ways, steady might mean continuing to move lower. But here, we actually see it steady in the sense that we're still sitting on WTI at 91.5. So we've gone lower than this. We went down to a high or a low, I'm sorry, of 79, give or take, but have bounced all the way back up to 91.5. So there is still a large degree of uncertainty. I think the big one there was the refusal of the second round of negotiations for Iran really brings back into question, okay, now what from the White House? So still elevated risk in regards to the oil price. We're not seeing a crash down in the sense that, we crashed upwards with oil price, but now we are not quite seeing the follow through to the downside. Still maintaining about 50% of the gains that were made throughout the geopolitical conflict. Oil is still trading, we're well off the highs, but we're also not back down to pre-war levels. So that kind of gives you an idea that the market is still very much suspect of and sensitive to geopolitical headlines.
Now, Nick, I wanted to talk to you about Kevin Warsh, Donald Trump's pick to be next chair of the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve. And yesterday he came under intense questioning about not only his personal wealth, but more aptly whether he would maintain the traditional independence of the Fed from the White House. Because as we know, Jerome Powell has been under a huge amount of pressure over the last year or so. Interesting seeing Warsh being questioned yesterday by this committee, because perhaps he didn't come across as dovish as some of us had thought.
Yeah, I think that's, when we look at the market's reaction to when Kevin Warsh was speaking, it was actually a relatively positive effect to the U.S. dollar. Yields also drifted higher during his speech. And I think that that's kind of your scorecard, right, in regards to the market's take on it. If he is perceived to be this ultra dove by the markets, then you would probably expect dollar to soften up and yields to come down. But I listened to a good chunk of his responses to the different questions he was asked, and he seemed to me to be an advocate strongly of Fed independence, and also kind of acknowledged that there's only so much that you can do in regards to how democracy in the sense of the committee works, right? There is a committee, it's a panel of people involved in making the decisions at the Fed. And so, you know, for him to be the Fed leader is one thing, but he still needs, you know, supporters within his cohort there at the Fed. So he acknowledged that. He said that, you know, Fed independence is obviously something that he values. He also made some comments I thought were interesting in regards to the role that the Fed's balance sheet plays. He mentioned that, yes, rate cuts are something that he sees as applicable, but there's a couple things that are very different from the Powell leadership that I thought were worth mentioning. The balance sheet concept, he pointed out, was a very beneficial to the wealthy concept, in the sense that he basically said, you know, when the Fed steps in and buys, you know, bonds and mortgages, et cetera, essentially provides liquidity to the markets and keeps markets moving higher perpetually, it is not necessarily as good of a thing for the lower income groups of people who may not own stocks and you know, real estate, et cetera. I thought that was an interesting point, because it was a little bit more on the openness to, well, we want to cut rates, but we also have this acknowledgement of, like, cutting interest rates is beneficial to a larger group of people, right? If you think about, like, the average person who has credit card debt or wants to buy a car or buy a home, like, that's something that they can sense and feel, whereas stocks going up forever is not necessarily something that's beneficial to the average person who may not have a large stock portfolio. So he made some points on that front. He also made a really important point that I thought was interesting, which is being a more nimble Fed committee, in the sense that adapting quicker and actually trying to be forward thinking in their projections of stuff, rather than more on the what we have currently, I would argue, which is more data dependent and looking back at data as it's coming in and responding to problems as they arise. I thought this kind of an interesting distinction. He basically said, like, keeping an open mind to the new data and kind of adjusting quicker to current trends. And also mentioned, of course, the impact that AI and what it could do to employment and inflation were something that he thinks being more nimble could, you know, escape a possible challenge in economics that could arise if you're too slow and backward looking in your data. So, of course, always, you know, controversy in regards to whether or not he's going to be, I've heard many people throw out the words, a Trump puppet, and whether or not he's just going to cut interest rates dramatically. But I personally think that maybe not so much. Maybe he is smarter than that, knows that he needs the support of his committee members, that he needs the bond market not to revolt under him. And if you remember, the announcement of his nomination actually saw yields strengthen and the dollar strengthen. So I think that the market kind of senses that he is relatively trustworthy in terms of the keys to the castle in regards to the Fed.
Yes, very interesting. Now let's cross the Atlantic momentarily, Nick, because we did have some important inflation figures today here in the UK, which saw CPI rise to 3.3%. Now, this was the expected figure, wasn't it? And so there are no great shocks there. And of course, mainly due this rise to higher fuel costs from the war in Iran and its impact on global oil prices. Really, it's what's to come, which is more of a concern to markets rather than what we have at the moment.
That's right. And I think also made evident with the core CPI actually coming in a little bit lower than expected at 3.1%. So to your point about fuel prices, we'll continue to watch that, because I think central banks globally, part of the reason we've talked about, you know, this shift from an easing cycle globally to a bit more of a on pause cycle once more. This is more evidence of why, right? You have inflation rising, not just in one place, but in many places due to the oil price shocks that we have seen. Very emblematic in some ways of what we saw in 2022 with the Russian-Ukraine stuff, especially with Europe getting a lot of its energy from Russia and from the Middle East. So that has a direct impact on countries in that part of the world. Certainly as well to Asian countries who are very reliant on the Middle East here as well. So very interesting to keep an eye on where inflation goes. In the U.S., we have seen the producer price index mark up to 4% here in the U.K. I also see here PPI inputs and outputs. Also, that did jump. So PPI inputs 4.4% compared to a forecast of 2.9%. So again, we are seeing the effects here of higher energy costs, and what that could do naturally is cause central banks to wait before trying to make any sort of monetary policy changes. I mean, Johnny, just before all of this took place, the Bank of England seemed like it really wanted to cut interest rates, and so now challenged once more with energy prices.
Yeah, that's right. We were looking at possibly two interest rate cuts in 2026, because it looks like we're going to have a rate rise rather than any cuts over the next few months. Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.